I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. No one ever said Donald Trump was a diplomat, but it seems the president is going out of his way to prove that he has no interest in being diplomatic, even when he's talking on the phone with America's closest international partners. Trump put it this way today at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington.
The world is in trouble, but we're going to straighten it out, okay? That's what I do. I fix things. We're going to straighten it out. Believe me. When you hear about the tough phone calls I'm having, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. They're tough. We have to be tough. It's time we're going to be a little tough, folks. We're taken advantage of by every nation in the world virtually. It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore.
One of those tough phone calls President Trump was referring to may have involved Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. They definitely spoke last Saturday, but according to the Washington Post, the conversation became very tense before Trump ended it abruptly. What reportedly upset the president was a refugee resettlement agreement between the U.S. and Australia. It's a deal President Obama signed off on last year and that Trump now refers to as dumb. To find out more, we turn to Stephanie March. She reports from Washington for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. We reached her near her office in D.C. via Skype.
So in the final days or weeks of the Obama administration, he struck a deal with the Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to accept about 1,250 refugees who have been kept in offshore detention centres in Australia, some up to several years. This current government in Australia has been quite determined to say that anyone who tries to reach Australia by boat, so not through the formal means, will never settle in Australia. So they're trying to find third countries to take these people. So Malcolm Turnbull's deal with the Obama administration was seen as quite a coup, and it did him a lot of favours politically, hence he was very, very hopeful that it would be maintained and continued by President Obama's successor.
All right, so tell us where these detention camps are.
So they're in two Pacific countries. One's Nauru, which is a very small island nation, and the other is Papua New Guinea. Both are just north of Australia in the Pacific Ocean. The Australian government has a lot of sway with countries in the Pacific region, and it's been an on and off thing we've had going for about 10 years, putting people in these detention camps. And the point is it's seen as a deterrent so that people who try to come to Australia by boat, who try to risk their lives as refugees or asylum seekers, don't try and make that dangerous journey. That's what the backers of this policy say. And by putting them in these offshore detention camps, it removes a lot of the legal responsibilities that Australia has under the international agreements and treaties on refugees and deny them essentially entry to Australia if they so choose.
These offshore detention camps are seriously controversial in Australia, right?
Incredibly so, and for no reason more other than we just hear horrible reports about the conditions in these camps. These are very hot, tropical Pacific Island nations we're talking about. You've got diseases like malaria, you've got dengue. There's just horrible stories you hear coming out, and it's obviously also incredibly mentally traumatic for people to be kept in detention in these places with no idea of what their future holds for years and years on end. We've seen a lot of asylum seekers and refugees in these camps try and self harm. Some have committed suicide. One of the biggest challenges is that press are essentially barred from going into these detention camps. So all these reports are coming out from NGO groups or the asylum seekers themselves, which makes it easier for the government to discredit them. But really, it's difficult to know exactly what is going on when you don't have media access.
Tell us who these refugees are and how they ended up in these offshore camps in the first place.
The majority of the refugees that are under this deal come from Iran or Iraq, and we understand there are some from Somalia and Sudan as well. So obviously those are four of the countries that are on Donald Trump's Muslim majority travel ban list. These are people who've tried to come to Australia by boat. They'll make a journey overland to Asia, perhaps Malaysia, perhaps Indonesia. They'll board one of these very overcrowded rickety boats for Australia, hoping to be picked up by Australia's border and customs, hoping to be settled eventually in Australia. This policy of never being able to settle in Australia if you come by boat is only recent. And a lot of these people have been stuck in these camps for years while the Australian government tries to work out what to do with them.
So what about the so-called special relationship between the US and Australia? Just how special is it? Can it survive this?
Well, we always thought it was a very special relationship. Australia has been an incredibly close ally of the US, particularly when it comes to military intervention. We've fought alongside your troops in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Vietnam. We're one of the highest military contributors to the battle against ISIS in Syria and Iraq at the moment. If there have been political differences between America and Australia in the past, usually they've been settled privately. So to have that private agreement sort of dishonoured by President Trump in a way is something that's really shocking.
Is it having any political impact on him in Australia?
It's really playing out in two ways. There's still a lot of pressure on him to reveal openly and honestly what actually transpired in that phone call. Really, we're all just going on this Washington Post article, but it seems that the sentiment, at least among his supporters and a lot of the media analysis of it, is that he was, you know, prepared to stand up for Australia's interests to one of the most powerful people in the world, and good on him.
Stephanie March, based in Washington for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thanks, Marco.